Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Many Christians believe their ultimate destiny is to go to heaven. But this verse at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, shows us that the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God. Today is the first of 6 programs that we're going to have dealing with the New Jerusalem, which is really the ultimate destiny of the believers. And we're so happy that Ron Kangas could join us as we start on this profound, significant topic. Ron, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you. You're happy, and I'm happy. The New Jerusalem is a marvelous subject, and I welcome any and every opportunity to fellowship concerning it.
Well, I hope our listeners will stay with us today, Ron, because I'm going to use this phrase again. I think this will be a classic life study program, and I make that apology because I maybe overused that phrase, but it's really true. I think nearly every day we touch something classic in its nature, but particularly now that we've arrived at the New Jerusalem, this ultimate consummation of God's building work throughout the centuries, this message, this word is particularly unique. For 60 centuries, God has been doing a great deal of building, and the issue of his work is the New Jerusalem, his eternal habitation. I really do look forward to this message and the 5 that follow. So let's join Witness Lee for this first portion. Then you and I, Ron, will be back to fellowship.
Now we come to New Jerusalem. First of all, these 2 chapters show us the way to see the New Jerusalem. This is rather quite unique in this book. When in chapter 1, the Lord prepared John, the writer of this book, to see the churches. There we are told John was in the Spirit. Chapter 1 not only tells us that John was in spirit, but also it tells us by that time John was on the island of Patmos. This is quite important. On the island, on the isolated, separated island, and in this sanctified spirit. I tell you, that was the way for John to see the churches. To see anything, we all know, number 1, you need a position, right? You need a standing with certain angle. Again, chapter 21 tells us, right away, I tell you, he was in the spirit. And he was carried to a high mountain. Now it's not to see the churches, but to see the New Jerusalem. This book is mainly composed of 4 big visions. For each vision of these 4, every time John, when he saw, he was in spirit. In chapter 1, it says John was in spirit to see the church. Then in chapter 4, it says again, John was in spirit to see the world situation. Then in chapter 17, it says again, John was in spirit to see Babylon. Then in chapter 21, John was brought to the high mountain, to the great mountain. There he was in spirit. And he saw. Hallelujah.
Ron, a few weeks ago, you and I were together and we did a program touching the matter of Mystery Babylon the Great in Revelation chapter 17. And in that program, we talked quite a lot about the need to be in spirit to see that vision and the other great visions in this book. Now we come to the New Jerusalem, and once again, in chapter 21, verse 10, John is in spirit, this time on a great and high mountain, to see this vision. Ron, why is it so important to be in spirit and in the right position and the right angle to see these major visions in God's economy?
We have to be in spirit because the nature of this vision is spiritual. The reality it presents is a spiritual reality. To use some obvious examples as parallels, the things in the physical realm we substantiate by physical organs. So we see with our human eyes the things that are visible and physical. And psychological things we substantiate with the corresponding parts of our soul or psyche. Neither the physical capacity to see nor the psychological capacity to substantiate has any value in the spiritual realm. Only spirit can contact spirit. God is spirit. We need to contact him and be contacted by him through the exercise of our spirit. But we also need the angle. We may have the capacity to see something. But if our position is wrong and our angle is wrong, even though we can see, we're not able to see because we're hindered by the environment with its distractions. It's no small thing that when Ezekiel had the heavens open to him and he saw visions of God in chapter 1 of the book by his name, he was by the river Kibar. He was in a particular place. Now here, John was exiled because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. But under God's sovereignty, his situation of isolation became an ideal place for him to be granted a vision of ultimate things. So when he sees the throne, he is in spirit and in a heavenly position. When he sees Babylon the Great, he is taken to a position, a wilderness with a desert, that corresponds to the thing which he is seeing. Now, the New Jerusalem is the ultimate and consummate revelation in the Bible. And mountains have a considerable spiritual significance, speaking of resurrection with the transcendent position of ascension. So to see the New Jerusalem in spirit through the Word in Revelation, we need to be both in spirit, in our regenerated human spirit, and in Christ to be in an uplifted, elevated, transcendent position. So many readers are curious about the book of Revelation, ponder it, study commentaries on it. But not that many will recognize that to know this book, we have to be in the same dimension where the writer was. He was in spirit when he saw it and when he wrote it, and we need to be in spirit when we read it and study it and consider it.
Well, we opened the program today looking at verse 2 in chapter 21. This holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and our opening remark presented a contrast between this biblical account and that of our natural concept that has permeated and certainly prevails the thought of believers everywhere. We're going to touch that in this next section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
This New Jerusalem is in the new heaven and new earth. And by this time, this New Jerusalem has come down from heaven to earth. I sure like this phrase, coming down from heaven to earth. Oh, God's intention is not to get a habitation eternally in the heavens. God likes to live on the earth. I tell you, religion dreams all the time to get in heaven. But God desires to come down to earth. Not something in the heavens, but something fully on this earth. Praise him.
Ron, I believe, if I'm quoting him correctly, he said, religion dreams all the time of getting into heaven, but God wants to come down to earth. I suppose if many Christians get their wish fulfilled, and that is to go to heaven, they just may pass God on his way down to the earth. In fact, Ron, the Bible shows us clearly that the New Jerusalem is the believer's ultimate destiny. And this is very much contrary to the popular thought, isn't it?
Utterly contrary. And to substantiate such a claim needs care and needs thoroughness in fellowship. Let's begin with the religious dream of heaven. That's what it is. It's widely supposed that the Bible teaches that the ultimate destiny of the believers in Christ is to be in heaven with their loved ones, maybe with their pets, and with the Lord in heaven. And the dream is quite detailed in its misuse and misapplication of Scripture. And perhaps the most widely misunderstood, misapplied portion is John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, the King James says, or many abodes, or dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. It's alleged that the Father's house is heaven, and that in this great house we have our own mansion, or apartment, or as one so-called scholar recently said, our own villa, custom designed by the Lord. And supposedly we will dwell in this glorious housing project for eternity. But as we endeavor to point out in the April issue of our journal, Affirmation and Critique, John 14 is not talking about heaven at all. The Father's house is God's spiritual building, which is being built up in the church today. The reality of that is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ will consummate in the New Jerusalem. We cannot now go into that much more detail on how this notion of heaven is not scriptural. It's simply not scriptural. This may sound so striking, it may be hard for some to believe we're actually saying it. If we read the Word of God in its purity, if we are willing to question not God and not God's Word, but traditional religious teaching, and if we're in the Spirit, and if we have the right position with the right angle, we'll begin to see what John 14 is talking about. That is God's spiritual building. The church is the house of the living God. Those abodes are our appointed place in God's spiritual building. So this is the religious dream about getting into heaven. Recently, in fellowshipping with a brother, I received a very strong impression concerning how widespread this misunderstanding is, that this brother was attending a funeral, and he had reason to speak with one of the pastors serving in this funeral. And this brother pointed out that God's ultimate goal and the believer's ultimate destiny is the New Jerusalem. And the pastor, the preacher, I wouldn't say he took offense, but he seemed to take umbrage, and he was quite strong. He said, no, the ultimate goal, the ultimate destiny is not the New Jerusalem, it is heaven. Well, we are now 180 degrees opposite the traditional religious view. The goal of God's eternal economy, the ultimate issue of Christ's redemptive work, the consummation of all of our growth and development and maturity in Christ is not a high place in heaven. Such a thought is not worthy of God, who is constructing a city for which Abraham was looking. And Hebrews 11 says the architect and builder of that city is God. Is God building a huge metropolis in the sky with physical materials? Is such a thought worthy of our wise God? Certainly not. The ultimate consummation of God's economy is the New Jerusalem, rightly understood. Wrongly understood, the New Jerusalem is alleged to be a synonym of heaven. There's a popular study Bible that has a note by a world-renowned theologian saying that heaven, the New Jerusalem, they're synonymous. Well, what about the verse we were considering? The New Jerusalem comes down out from heaven. That hardly sounds synonymous to me. If it comes down out of heaven, it must be distinct from heaven. The New Jerusalem is not heaven. The New Jerusalem is not a literal, physical, material city. Revelation is a book of signs, that is, a book of symbols with spiritual significance. The New Jerusalem is a sign, that is, it's a symbol with spiritual significance. And it is a sign of what? We urge the readers to follow carefully the following five programs and to send for this volume in the Life Study of Revelation and study it and compare it with Scripture. The New Jerusalem, as the consummation of God's economy, is a person. And that person is a corporate person called the Bride of Christ. And that corporate person is a composition of the triune God in Christ as the Spirit and all the glorified sons of God throughout the ages, millions, maybe tens and hundreds of millions of us, in oneness with God, will be the corporate expression of the triune God, and that corporate expression is what is signified by the holy city, New Jerusalem. God's goal is a glorious, eternal, consummate, ultimate, corporate expression of Himself. This is His eternal purpose. This is His heart's desire. Hebrews 2 says, the Father is leading many sons into glory. Glory is the expression of God. Glory as the expression of God is the New Jerusalem. Revelation 9 through 11 makes it very clear the New Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb, has the glory of God. Her light is like a jasper stone. We know from Revelation 4, jasper, with its dark green color, signifies the expression of God in His rich life in and with His communicable glory. The city expresses God. Now, this thought is worthy of God. This thought is worthy of the Word of God. But even beyond the point whether the thought is worthy of God and of His Word, we would stress this basic point. This is the truth. It is not true to say that the final result of everything is that we leave the earth and go to heaven and live there in a mansion or an abode or a villa. That is not true. That is not according to the divine revelation. That is not God's thought. That is not God's goal. The truth is that whether we look at John 14 and consider the Father's house, or we look at Revelation 21 and consider the New Jerusalem, God's goal is the building, the corporate expression of Himself. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Was that a cathedral of stone? Was that a bungalow with a tower and a cross on top? Is that an ultra-modern religious building? Absurd to suggest it. He said, I will build my church. The church is the house of the living God. And all this is supposed to consummate, not with something spiritual, not with something living and organic, but with a literal city or a huge house with many mansions. This is ridiculous. And I cannot lessen my utterance concerning it. We need to reread the Word of God, restudy the revelation of God, and reconsider this matter of the New Jerusalem with a sound mind and, to repeat, an exercise spirit and a willingness to be in the right position so we can view the Word of God without religious bias and we can wake up from religious dreams and see the glorious heavenly vision of the New Jerusalem as the ultimate, consummate, corporate expression of the triune God with all of His glorified, redeemed people as one in the new heaven and on the new earth. This is the New Jerusalem. This is our destiny. Long ago I made the decision, in light of the Word of God, to trade in heaven for the New Jerusalem. May all the Lord's faithful seeking ones be willing, at least, to consider doing the same.
Well, Ron, I do want to spend just a moment here at the end of the program. You mentioned this publication, this journal, Affirmation and Critique.
We are presently putting out this publication, we meaning a number of editors at Living Stream Ministry in Anaheim. We put out this publication quarterly. It's called Affirmation and Critique. Affirmation, because we are affirming the great truths of God's Word from the point of view of the eternal economy of God. We do have a point of view, a perspective. It's God's economy. It's called critique because in the light of the biblical revelation, especially of God's economy, we critique teachings, theologies, concepts that, although they may be popular, are not in harmony with the divine revelation. We do not critique persons. We are concerned with systems of thought, with teachings. And as we affirm and critique, we, of course, need to, and we do, open ourselves for a response.
Thank you. Of course, these life study messages, six of them, in volume number 4 in our life study of Revelation are focused on this very topic, the New Jerusalem as the ultimate consummation of God's building with man. Then we have several books written by Brother Watchman Nee and Brother Witness Lee on this topic, both confirming and affirming this divine truth that is clearly revealed. We understand and realize very well we're touching something that is sensitive, that is popular, that is held close to the heart by many, many, many of God's dear seeking ones. But as Ron very well put it, our hope, our prayer is simply that we would all be open to receive His light from His divine Word as to the truth on something so vital and so important as the ultimate destiny of all of God's people.
Amen.
Brother Ron, thank you.
You're welcome.
And please join us again as we continue our life study of Revelation. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.